Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Warriors are going to have to reevaluate just how bad Steph's injury is before Game 3. It's not going well so far. Game 2, Western Conference Semifinals. Minnesota Timberwolves up on Golden State 25-7 with 2.5 minutes to go in the first. Jimmy Butler has 5 of the Warriors' 7 points to begin the game. He is 2-for-3. Buddy Hield 0-for-2. Brandon Podziemski 0-for-2. Gary Payton II, 0-for-2. Moses Moody, 0-for-2. Pat Spencer, 0-for-1. Meanwhile, Timberwolves are shooting a measly 45% from the floor, and they're up 18 over 2.5 minutes left in the first quarter. Just under 2.5 minutes. Oh, there we go. Warriors just made a bucket. They made a 3. It's now a 25-10 game. Yikes. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here with you, Jacob Mustard. Final hour of the show here tonight. We won't have a show tomorrow night. We've got Royals baseball as the Boston Red Sox come to town. Royals host them at Kauffman for 3 days, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, in what should be a really, really fun series. Royals are in the midst of 15 wins in their last 17 games, which is completely and utterly extraordinary. I want to talk about something here to kick off hour number one. A couple of just bizarre stories. The first one. How about Manny Pacquiao ending his retirement? Yes, you heard me correctly. According to Andreas Hale of ESPN, boxing star Manny Pacquiao is going to be ending a retirement that has lasted nearly 4 years to face Mario Barrios for the WBC title belt. Why, you may ask? I'm not sure anybody's got that answer for you. The man is 46 years old. Coming out of retirement, not for, you know, he's not going to fight Logan Paul or Jake Paul, you know, the way that some other guy, Anderson Silva and Mike Tyson and some others have done. He's not renewing a fight with Conor McGregor, who's also on the other side of 40. Nope. This man is going to fight Mario Barrios for the WBC Welterweight Championship of the World on July 19th in Vegas. He has not fought since August of 2021 when he lost in the WBA Welterweight Championship via unanimous decision. He retired to begin a political career, I guess. And apparently now he's bored. I don't really know. Just out of curiosity. Mario Barrios is 29. Manny Pacquiao was already in professional boxing by the time Mario Barrios was born. He's 29 years old. He is 29-2 in his career. With one draw, he's won 18 matches, well, 18 bouts by KO. Why? Why are we doing this? Barrios has been the WBC welterweight champion since June of last year, so it'll be a year that he will have held the belt by the time this, or just over a year, when this fight takes place. I think this is a terrible idea, Manny. 46 years old, coming out of retirement to fight the best welterweight in the world. All right, man. Do you, I guess. Second story I've got here, and it's a combination. One via CBS Sports and the other via Bleacher Report. And both of these stories came out yesterday. Both of these articles, I should say. Bleacher Report's Brad Gagnon and CBS Sports' Cody Benjamin each came out with separate lists of NFL quarterback rankings, Jacob. And I want to get your input on this. Post-draft 2025 NFL quarterback power rankings. Just baseline for me here, Jacob, as a you know, as an observer, as an outside observer, somebody that's not a Chiefs fan, part of the kingdom, quote unquote. If you had to put together a list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, what number would you put next to Patrick Mahomes' name?
Are they basing it going into the season off of last year or just out of everybody?
It's a combination is sort of the, yeah. So according to CBS, Benjamin of CBS Sports, he said, decided to take stock of all 32 teams and sort today's projected quarterbacks, accounting for not only their recent results, but current status and outlook. And Bleacher Report took a similar stance as well. Using the old eyeball test, along with a wide array of common, rate-based, and advanced statistics from Pro Football Reference and StatHead, here's how we view the NFL's top 10 quarterbacks as the next phase of the 2025 offseason gets underway. So looking at it from a similar lens, where would Patrick Mahomes be on your list of quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, I mean, if it's the list I caught a glimpse of that you're talking about, I mean, it's atrocious. I think you have to put him at either one or two.
I would agree. He's one or two. If you want to put Josh Allen ahead of him because Josh Allen just won the MVP, go crazy. Like, I'll even stomach you putting him at number three if you want to throw Lamar Jackson up there because he's won three MVPs. Okay.
If they're just looking at like kind of recent year, like this last year and the projections going forward, I can agree with that. I still wouldn't drop him lower than two, though.
No, he doesn't. There's no reasoning behind him being outside of the top two or three. I mean, I will stomach you putting him at three, although I think you're wrong. Well, good news for Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports and Brad Gagnon of Bleacher Report. Because they didn't put Patrick Mahomes outside, well, I guess, he didn't put him at number one. They didn't put him at number two. They didn't put him at number three. No, in fact, Brad Gagnon of Bleacher Report has Patrick Mahomes as the number four quarterback in the NFL coming into this season. Hold on, before you freak out, Cody Benjamin of CBS Sports has him at number six. Who's ahead of him, you might ask?
Drake May.
He's got Josh Allen at number five. Don't make me laugh. He's got Josh Allen at number five on the list, does CBS. Lamar Jackson at four. Joe Burrow at three. Joe Burrow, great quarterback. He's put up good numbers. He's never won an MVP. And you just put him ahead of the three most recent MVP winners? He put Jalen Hurts at number two after being carried to a Super Bowl. Although he did play well in the Super Bowl. He won Super Bowl MVP, so give him some credit. He put Jaden Daniels at number one. What? You put a second-year quarterback number one on your list of quarterbacks in the National Football League. He starts it out with recency bias, question mark? Sure. You think? Oh, my God. What? Jaden Daniels had a great year. The best rookie season by a quarterback we've ever seen in the league. Number one is blasphemous.
I mean, I think he's obviously projecting Jaden Daniels to win MVP this year.
I guess so. And again, there are some numbers that make the argument a little bit more weighted in their favor. Right, Bleacher Report, they got into the nitty-gritty. They got down into the numbers, the ones and twos, and they really came out with some interesting facts to back up their point. They've got Mahomes at number four. And these are some numbers that honestly kind of shocked me that I did not realize. Last year, among qualified quarterbacks, of which there were 36, Patrick Mahomes finished dead last in the league with 2.8 yards completed air yards per attempt in 2024. 2.8 yards per completion. Air yards. Huh? I didn't know that, which is actually an improvement over where he was last year. Among 20 quarterbacks who qualified that attempted at least 75 deep passes last season, he was 19th in the league in passer rating. 46.1 on passes that were at least 15 yards downfield. The only person who was worse, Anthony Richardson, who got benched. In the last two seasons, Patrick Mahomes has the most interceptions in the AFC. He's thrown 25 picks over the last 2 years, more than any other quarterback in the conference. In the last two seasons, his quarterback rating of 93 is actually 20th in the NFL among 33 qualified throwers. Those numbers make it a discussion. But hey, let's try some other numbers. He's got a 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown season. He's won two MVPs. He's won three Super Bowls. He's won three Super Bowl MVPs. Right? There were years. There were times during Tom Brady's reign in the NFL where he wasn't throwing for the most yards. He wasn't throwing the most touchdowns. He didn't have the highest completion percentage. But he was still the best quarterback in the league. And I know everybody tried to throw that guy out there, right? There was Peyton Manning, and there was Aaron Rodgers, and there was Drew Brees, and then it was, you know, Mahomes for a period as well. I'm sorry, the numbers can say 1,000 different things. There's 1,000 numbers that support Mahomes and 1,000 that don't. What matters is the guy's been to 5 Super Bowls in 7 years. He's won 7 straight AFC titles, or been to 7 straight AFC championship games, winning 5 of those 7. He's won 3 out of 5 Super Bowls he's appeared in. He's got 2 MVPs. He's got 3 Super Bowl MVPs. And he's not even 30 yet. Come on. Like, you got to be better than that. You have got to be better than this. 913-586-7965. Oh, my boy Drew. In the text line. Mahomes 1A, Burrow 1B. Drew, my guy. We're not putting Burrow 1B, man. I'm sorry. I'm not putting Burrow at 2. Not when you've got two guys who have won MVPs recently in Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Sorry. Sorry to be that guy. Bengals got to have a better defense. I don't know how that necessarily affects Burrow, but it does.
So you want to hear this list that was the one that I thought you saw?
Oh, let me hear this one. What is this from? What's the publication here?
So Dov on Twitter posted
Dov Kleiman. Oh God.
Yeah.
What a Twitter page that is.
It's got Jaden Daniels 1, Lamar 2, Baker Mayfield 3, Josh Allen 4, Bo Nix 5, Burrow 6, Hurts 7, JJ McCarthy 8.
I'm gonna wig out.
Justin Fields 9.
This is got Drake May, this 10, is this gotta be a parody.
Mahomes 11, Goff, Caleb Williams, and Bryce Young.
Somebody's gotta be making 14. A joke. There's no way that's a real list. There's no way that a credible person of any kind who has ever watched football in their lives put that list together.
It might be the worst list I've ever seen.
JJ McCarthy's never played a snap in the league. Bo Nix had a top 10 defense and won 10 games. That person deserves to be shot into the sun. I say that facetiously, of course. That's awful. Somebody said that's a fantasy football list. Maybe. I don't care if it is fantasy football. That list still sucks.
I think it is a fantasy, but even then, that just doesn't make sense.
Even in fantasy, that list is dog water. That's all I have to say. Somebody asked, does Pat have a better year this year stat-wise? Yes, I believe he does. I believe he does. I think that the last couple of years, it's been more conservative in the play calling. And I know people are going to blame Matt Nagy, and I disagree. It's Andy Reid's offense. I don't care if it's Matt Nagy. I don't care if it's Eric B. I don't care. I don't care if it's Curious George. It's Matt Nagy's offense. It's Andy Reid's offense. He's the end-all be-all. I think that they're going to allow him to open it up a little bit more this year. I think that they're going to say, hey, Pat, go be Pat. All right? We're not putting the reins on you anymore. It's not, you know, chunk, you know, it's not West Coast dink and dunk style football. It may be in certain instances, but I think they're going to open things up a little bit more and say, hey, you want to throw it 50 yards downfield? We're going to trust you to make that throw because you're the best player alive. You go do that. And I have to hope so. Somebody in the text line said, you got to think about who his OC is and who he's throwing to. He's got nothing. Well, that's not true. I don't get, I can't deal with the Matt Nagy hate. I can't do it. He's not a bad OC. He's not. He's not. He was the OC when Mahomes won an MVP, threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. He took the Bears to the playoffs. I know that things devolved quickly from there, but he took them to the playoffs. He was the OC of a Super Bowl team, and then another one, one that won, one that lost. Too much Matt Nagy hate. I won't listen to it. And he's got guys to throw the football to. I know that Rasheed and Hollywood went down, but he still had Trav. Xavier Worthy came on really well late in the year. Juju did some good things. DeAndre Hopkins did some good things. Was that the best wide receiver Corey's ever had? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. It also wasn't the worst he's ever had. And I think that they're going to be very, very good this year. What is that guy smoking? I don't know, but I'm intrigued by it. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. Mahomes hasn't had the same offense every year and has still produced. Dude, without question, it's a great text in the text line. Don't disrespect the man. Now he's just going to begin counting. Now he's just going to keep counting on his fingers because that list is awful. All of them. All three of them. All three of those lists suck. We're moving on. 913-586-7965 is our number. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here alongside Jacob Mustard. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight right here on your home for Kansas City sports.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure I'll get over that for a while. How bad those lists were. The people in the text line agreeing. Somebody just said I would even put Mahomes at 5 because recent performances haven't been that great. Just looking at the Super Bowl in the last season with not as big throws make people lose interest. I don't care if they're big throws or small throws. What I care about is that they've been to 3 straight Super Bowls and won 2 of them back to back. Had an opportunity to go for a three-peat. He had the worst start of his career in a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP in that time frame. He's won 2 Super Bowl MVPs in that time frame. He's the best quarterback on planet Earth. He is. Sorry. We're moving on. We talked about the NBA playoffs a little bit earlier. Warriors are trying to crawl back in it about halfway through the second quarter now. Timberwolves are still up 36-19. Anthony Edwards with 3 steals already in the first half. He's the Wolves' leading scorer with 7 points. How about the NHL? And admittedly, I won't talk much about it because I am not the most avid hockey person. I don't know a ton about the game. But last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs beat the Florida Panthers 4-3 in Game 2 of the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And the Dallas Stars beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2. They took a 1-0 lead in that series. Toronto's up 2-0 on Florida. Going on right now, the Washington Capitals against the Hurricanes. Capitals up 2-1. Carolina won the first game of the series, but are currently trailing by a goal here in the third period of this game as Washington's trying to tie things up. And then at 8:30 tonight, right here in about 5-6 minutes, actually, the Vegas Golden Knights are going to be hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Game 2 of that series in the second round of the Western Conference at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Not to be confused with the T-Mobile Center here in Kansas City. Edmonton won Game 1, so the Golden Knights are trying to even up this series and take advantage of a home ice performance. We'll see if they get it done. 913-586-7965 is our number. Couple of news and notes out of Major League Baseball. We've already got a firing in the league this year. After a tumultuous start to the year through 38 games, the Pittsburgh Pirates have announced that they are firing manager Derek Shelton. Pittsburgh's off to a 12-26 start this year, and they are currently in the midst of a 7-game losing streak as they fell to 10 games back of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. In over 5 seasons with Pittsburgh, Shelton went 306-440. The decision came from general manager Ben Charrington, or Sherrington, made the announcement earlier today, said Don Kelly will be taking over as the manager. Of course, this means that now Shelton is the first manager fired in Major League Baseball this year. They're 26th out of 30 Major League teams in payroll, and their best player is a 22-year-old Paul Skeens, who they don't have to pay big money for another 5 years, you know, at least another 2. Once he hits arbitration, then things get a little bit interesting. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit surprised by this move this early in the year. I mean, they're not paying anybody, and you got rid of your biggest contributors. You let Musgrove go. You traded Josh Bell. You let Jameson Taillon go. You're trying to get prospects. You're not a contending team. You're in the bottom 5 of the league in payroll. But yeah, fire your manager. That's a GM trying to save face and keep himself in a job, is kind of what it feels like to me. A couple people in the text line sending in some questions here that I want to answer real quick. We need an NBA or an NHL team in KC stat. I'd love it. We can easily use the T-Mobile Center for a couple of years. I don't think you can. And I've heard this from multiple people. The problem is, I'm not sure the folks at the T-Mobile Center want to sacrifice 41 days, at least 41 days a year, for an NBA team. They got something's going on at the T-Mobile Center every night, right? Concerts, performances, whatever. They generate a ton of revenue from ticket sales for all these other events, right? T-Mobile Center would need almost a guarantee that they wouldn't lose revenue by taking away at least 41 dates a year to put an NBA game on, right? A WNBA team, absolutely, I think could make sense because there's only 20. 41, I mean, you got to double that, right? 41 dates a year at least. That's not, I mean, you know, in the midst of a back-to-back, right? It may take a day to maneuver everything around to get set for the next day and moving the courts in and out. You might have to give it an extra day on top of that, right? Or let's say they make the playoffs and then all of a sudden you're losing out on 4, 8, 12 more dates plus. I don't think the T-Mobile Center wants to do that. And that's what I've heard.
The difference comes when, and I know he may retire soon, but LeBron James coming to Kansas City will generate revenue. You know, you'll have these big stars, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, all these teams, when they come to Kansas City, that's going to generate revenue, and it may make up for those lost days.
Maybe, but who knows how much longer any of those guys are playing. And are the young superstars of the NBA today garnering as much attention? As good of players as guys like Nikola Jokic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka Doncic and Jason Tatum and Anthony Edwards, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on with some of these young superstars. Wimby, maybe, because he's just a freak. But I got concerns about Wimby. I'm being honest. I want to see this guy play basketball for another 15 years. But I mean, those blood clots are nothing to mess around with, especially at his size. That those things can get scary real fast. But so I don't know. All right, are you going to hang your hat on that when Steph Curry might be out of the league in 3 or 4 years? LeBron's got a year or two left, right? How much longer is Kevin Durant going to play? And then you're looking around like, okay, who's the guy, right? Who are the guys? Who's the face of the league? Who's that crop that's going to continue the popularity of the National Basketball Association? I'm not sure it's there. I think that NBA basketball in Kansas City maybe you could do it out at Hy-Vee Arena over by American Royal.
The Hy-Vee Arena is a great location.
It is a good location. It's
a big enough stadium with
definitely has a strong enough capacity crowd for something like that. They have enough seats. Municipal would be undersized for an NBA arena, and it would certainly be dated for an NBA arena, but if you needed to in a pinch, you could make it work for a few years, and I'm not sure how much revenue Municipal would be missing out on necessarily. I think the biggest event they host year after year is like the NAIA tournament. I don't know. That's just me speaking as a kid that used to go to the NAIA tournament as a child, but yeah, I don't know. You'd have to find something temporarily and find the money, find the space to build. To build an arena, to build a facility. I'm not sure if they have that right now. Mahomes and the boys might have enough pull, but we'll see. Have Mahomes and investors bring a team in. They just need the support to grow. They certainly could try, right? I know they've been very open about a WNBA team, and maybe that's how you get the ball rolling, right? You dip your toes in the WNBA scene, you show the popularity that basketball has in the metro, because I think a WNBA team at Kansas City could thrive. I think it could really, really work. This town, this area, the metro has such a propensity for supporting women's sports. I mean, look at what's happened with the Kansas City Current. Look at what happened a week ago. Last weekend, you set the United States record for the most highly attended women's rugby game in U.S. history. That's great. That's what I mean. And if you got that started and you showed them, if you showed them that it could be done with a WNBA team, they might be more inclined to do it with an NBA team. Because we had an NBA team, lest we all forget, with the Kansas City Kings, and it didn't work. People didn't really go. They weren't that successful. They ended up going to Sacramento and broke everybody's hearts. You got to prove it in the NBA today. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll continue that conversation. I'm getting a lot of good messages here in the text line that I'll talk about, as well as a few questions, including I got a question about the Royals. Reasons behind the streak. Why are the Royals playing so well right now? We'll talk about that next right here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We got an open dialogue going on right now. An NBA team to Kansas City. Can it be done? Somebody suggested T-Mobile Center. I talked about how I've heard from multiple people that the concern is that T-Mobile might lose revenue by doing that, by giving up those dates every year for an NBA team in order to make room for them. And they may lose revenue taking away concerts and other events that they have going on. I just don't think it's highly plausible, and that's what I've heard from other people around the metro. Somebody suggested, we got to talk about this tomorrow because T-Mobile would be perfect. They host the Big 12 tournament. It's good enough for that and hockey. But again, they would have to give up dates. They would have to get rid of concerts in which they sell a lot. I went to a concert at the T-Mobile Center last year for Dan and Shay, and it was sold out. Can they sell out an NBA team in Kansas City? Especially, I mean, for the first 8, 10, 12 home games? Yeah. But they're going to be an expansion team. They're going to suck. So how many people are really going to stick around?
I was going to say, it's going to come down to who they pick from other teams. If they pick some, like, depending on what teams protect their young prospects and who would be the next pick, because you're most likely going to end up with the top five,
yeah,
if not the number one pick.
You'd end up at, you have your honeymoon phase off the bat where everybody wants to buy tickets. Everybody wants to get in to watch the new NBA team in Kansas City. But as they continue to struggle, what's the best way to sell tickets? Win games. If you're successful, people want to be there to watch that. And once we all realize, oh, they're an expansion team, there are going to be some growing pains along the way, people are going to stop going. And I think that is what would ultimately kill the possibility of an NBA team at the T-Mobile Center. They would have to find somewhere else to play. They would have to go play at Hy-Vee Arena over by American Royal, or they'd have to build their own facility, or they would have to stomach Municipal for a couple of years. None of the three of which I find incredibly plausible, but more plausible than the T-Mobile Center.
Well, and then speaking in NBA terms, you already have Seattle, who lost the Supersonics to become the OKC Thunder, who have been dying to have a team back for the decades.
And then it becomes difficult, because if you're looking at, okay, the NBA would have to have a second, right? You'd have to have a second team then for expansion. And is Kansas City, which right now geographically would be a Western Conference city, along with Seattle, a Western Conference city. So either Kansas City automatically somehow becomes an Eastern Conference league team, right? Eastern Conference team, which wouldn't make geographical sense. Or you got to take somebody from the Western Conference and push them to the Eastern Conference, which also doesn't seem like the most likely scenario. There's a lot of hoops to jump through here, a lot of hurdles, and somebody's got to be willing to do it, right? Somebody's got to be willing to lead the charge on an investment group to bring an NBA team to Kansas City. Could it be Mahomes? Yes, absolutely. In his group, they've expressed interest in a WNBA team. They've done that with the Kansas City Current. He's bought ownership stake in the Kansas City Royals. He might have enough pull to do it, but it's hard. And somebody in the text line just brought this up. This area, right? Basketball wise, right? With baseball, you've got the Royals. With football, you've got the Chiefs. Basketball, this is a college basketball town for the most part, right? Go down to Power and Light and check out how many people are sitting down to watch the NBA Finals at P&L. Now go down and see how many people are down there to watch the Final Four at P&L. Tells you a lot. The women's Final Four, the women's national championship game, sometimes draws more than an NBA Finals game gets. I mean, at P&L. So I agree with that. Between Mizzou and KU and K-State and this you know, amalgamation of things that we've got here in Kansas City, right? I'm a Kansas City kid, but I'm an Iowa fan, and there are those of us out there. I see it once, twice a day driving around the metro. I see people with Iowa decals or Iowa driver's license plates and whatever. I see Nebraska fans. It's an area sort of centrally located for a lot of big-time colleges in the Midwest, and they all come together to watch college basketball here in the metro. That's why the Guardians Classic was a big one years and years ago. And they got something similar back here in the city now, but I used to go to that every year when I was a kid. You got the Big 12 tournament here, right? It's a college basketball town in a lot of ways. That's not to say that it couldn't become an NBA town. I think it could. I think it has enough bandwidth for that. It's just hard. Somebody says St. Louis would probably get an NBA team before Kansas City. They certainly could. They've done it before, right? The Hawks were in St. Louis before they went to Atlanta. It's an interesting one. Somebody says have them play at Allen Fieldhouse. They have an automatic home court advantage every game. That's interesting. They could put a dome on top of Kauffman Stadium in a few years and make that an NBA arena.
I wouldn't hate that idea, but you're already struggling with parking there.
That might be more of a hassle than it's worth, because you'd put a dome on it and you'd have to change the seating. You can't have seating on three sides of an NBA court. You can't. And the seating in the stadium is way too far away for an NBA team. It's hard to watch an NBA game from 400 feet in the air.
We need to make a stadium based off of Oracle and get everybody in tight and make the sound. And
I want an NBA team. I want an NBA arena. If you're going to build one in Kansas City, I want an NBA arena that has a college atmosphere to it. That's kind of what Oracle has. That's what Oklahoma City has. Right, I want to see it built like Allen Fieldhouse, like Cameron Indoor, where they're like, oh, it feels like the crowd's on top of you. It's a true home court advantage. I think that would be beautiful. Somebody said you're spot on for the WNBA in Kansas City. The NHL is next. No NBA in Kansas City, though. I'd love to see the NBA at some point. It's wishful thinking, way too wishful thinking. But I think the WNBA comes to Kansas City in the next decade. I really do. There's a difference between soccer and basketball. No one wants to see that trash. Well, which is the trash? Soccer or basketball? Not sure what you're referring to. What about a hockey team? A hockey team's probably more sustainable than an NBA team, potentially. Where you play, I don't know. Cable Dahmer makes sense, I guess. But does Kansas City want to put an NHL team in Independence? It's an interesting question. What if they domed Children's Mercy Park, and when soccer isn't playing, you play basketball? Okay, could be the case. Yeah, seems like we got Tom on the line with us right now. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, so, you know, I think, you know, I agree with some of the points about the NBA, but I also think that Kansas City is actually a great place for an NBA team. You know, they have the Jayhawks. I'm biased. I'm a fan. But, you know, they also have the museum, the National
Museum
for College Basketball. So, you know, I think there is a demand for it. And I feel like compared to St. Louis, Kansas City, the name recognition, you have Mahomes, you have Bobby Witt Jr. I think that it carries a lot more weight than St. Louis. I mean, they're the team that lost the Rams, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's more of an argument to be made that Kansas City has a much bigger national presence, and they have the Sprint Center. It's ready to go. There's the concerns about all the logistics, but I think they can work that out. So if you see my point, I just think that they have a lot. Kansas City for a long time, but they've had a lot more going for them than St. Louis. And I think that they have a momentum that could push the NBA to maybe make that decision. And it's funny, you know, I have a friend that works for the NBA. He's he's a food director for the commissioner, right? And I'm only mentioning this because, my goodness, do they treat their employees well. It's kind of remarkable. So that's all I got to say. I don't know what your thoughts are about it, but I thought it was worth mentioning.
No, yeah, I appreciate you calling in, Tom. Absolutely. I would love to see it. I am a basketball fan. I am an NBA fan. I know that there are maybe many of us. I think it could work. I do agree with you. It could work. There's enough bandwidth for it to work. I don't know where you put it. That's my question, right? Where does it go? Because I don't think it's the T-Mobile Center. I don't think that the city is going to be willing to give up all of those concert dates and event dates if they want to bring in a monster truck show or an ATV exhibit or X Games, whatever, that they would sell out for and draw plenty of attention towards. I'm not sure they'd be willing to give that up in order to make an NBA team work. And in all honesty, if you wanted an NBA team in the Metro, it may have to go in Kansas. It probably would have to go in Kansas, which is fine, as long as there's an NBA team. We'll see. 913-586-7965. That is a lot more conversation about an NBA team in Kansas City than I anticipated having tonight. And honestly, I kind of like it because I don't get to talk about the NBA very often. It's great. After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, we'll come back, wrap up the show next right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Carolina Panthers are having to make some moves. They announced today the release of Jadeveon Clowney after a year in Carolina. They also had to put Jonathan Brooks back on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, after a second ACL injury in the last 13 months. So a guy they took in the second round last year will now miss more than likely his first two seasons in the National Football League. Not a tremendous start to a career for a former second-round pick who was expected to be a big part of their offensive plans very quickly in his tenure. We've got Royals baseball back tomorrow after a four-game sweep of the White Sox that concluded today with a 10-0 victory at Kauffman. The Royals will be hosting the Red Sox at home tomorrow for a three-game series Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 6:40 first pitch. It'll be Lorenzen taking on Dobbins. So far this year, Dobbins is 2-1. He's got a 3.78 ERA. Does Hunter Dobbins. Lorenzen is 3-3 with a 4.23. And then tomorrow it's going to be Reagans, and then Sunday will be Lugo. Saturday's matchup fascinates me. I look at that one as two of the best young pitchers in the American League. You got Cole Reagans against Garrett Crochet. It's a good one. It's an old AL Central game, right? Crochet was with the White Sox last year. Now he's in Boston after he did his absolute best to get out of that dumpster fire. It's going to be a good series. Royals have won 15 of their last 17 games now and have an opportunity. They take 2 out of 3 against this Boston team, 25-17. It'd be 8 games above 500 by the time we hit officially, the second week of May after starting the year 8-14. That is a tremendous change in momentum. Somebody asked me, explain this run. How have the Royals won 6 games in a row? How have they won 15 out of 17? And the answer is complementary baseball. Right? If something's not working, they're effective with something else. The pitching, firstly, has been outstanding. Since April 20th, this has been the best staff in Major League Baseball. And in fact, it's the best staff in the American League, one of the best staffs in Major League Baseball. When the pitching's been on and the hitting has struggled, they've leaned on their pitching. They've done what they could to scrape together a couple of runs across the plate, and you go. When the hitting's been on and the pitching's been off, continue to rake at the dish. Continue to be aggressive at the plate. Drive in runs. Do what you can. It's just been complimentary baseball, man. And this bullpen has just been lights out. The bullpen's been unbelievable. Even Carlos Estevez, who's been a little bit shaky over the last couple of weeks, he's only given up he's given up 4 earned runs this season. He's been great. You're seeing guys like Steven Cruz and Daniel Lynch get involved, which you never saw coming in a million years. Chris Bubich might be a Cy Young favorite in the American League right now through the first 6-7 weeks of the season. It's because they're getting contributions from guys they didn't expect. Drew Waters is hitting .280. Mikel Garcia is up over .320. They're doing their jobs. Guys are hitting the ball better now. Salvi's hitting up over .240 now. Vinny's hitting .330+ in the month of May. The bats are getting figured out. The pitching continues to dominate. That's why the Royals have won 15 of their last 17 games. Slight caveat, it does help that they haven't played the greatest competition in their last 17 games. But I digress. That'll do it for tonight's show. For my producer, Jacob Mustard, I'm Logan Weber. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks for getting involved in the text line, as always. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, midday, 10 to 2. Cody and Gold, I'll be on with Jay Binkley and Drew Nixon. We out.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of 2 World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.